in which he was raised to the heavens. The very place in which his mother was given the fruits of winter in summer and the fruits of summer in winter. The very place which, according to Abdullah ibn Umar, was built by the Anbiya. مَا فِيهِ مَوْضِعُ شِبْرٍ إِلَّا وَقَسَجِدَ عَلَيْهِ نَبِيٌ. He says there is not a single span of earth over which the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam have not prostrated upon. The very place in which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam prayed to, it was the first Qibla of Muslims for 16 months. It was the very place to which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was taken to in the night of Miraj. The very place in which he led all the Anbiya in prayer. And it is the very place that the Muslims will migrate to before the end of time. The very place that Ka'ab says, إِنَّ بَبَيْتِ الْمَقْدِسِ أَلْفَ قَبْرِ مِنْ قُبُورِ الْأَنْبِيَىٰ. That in the holy site, there are over 1,000 graves of the Anbiya. The very place, لَا يَدْخُلَهَا الدَّجَّالِ. That the Dajjal, the one-eyed lion, will not be able to enter. The land is so blessed that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, مَنْ زَارَ بَيْتَ الْمَقْدِسِ مُعْتَصِبًا أَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ أَجْرَ أَلْفِ شَهِيدٍ. Go visit the Baytul Maqdis with the intention of sabab, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the reward of 1,000 martyrs. حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ لَحْمَهُ وَجَسَدُهُ عَلَى النَّارِ. And Allah will make your flesh and your body haram on the fire of hell. Pray inside it with the intention of sabab, رَجَعَ كَيَوْمٍ وَلَدَتُ أُمُّهُ. And you will return like the day your mothers give you birth, free from sin. And according to Hassan al-Basri, give 1 dirham sadaqah in the Baytul Maqdis and you will receive the certificate, Bara'atun min al-Nar. This person will never enter the fire of hell. This is the Aqsa. And yet you and I, it makes no difference what the Israelis do to the Aqsa. What they do to the Haramain Sharifain. What they do to the Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As long as we are fulfilling our desires like animals without any restrictions, we're not bothered what happens on the face of this earth. Remember, if today our Muslim brothers in other parts of the world, as calamities have befallen them, then you and I are next. Yesterday, maybe in countries like Bosnia, they didn't believe it could happen to them. Maybe the Muslims in Chechnya didn't believe it could happen to them. Maybe the Muslims in Kashmir thought that it could not happen to them. And at this moment in your time, our mentality is exactly the same. Maybe you and I are thinking that it cannot happen to us. This is what the kafir does. He takes away your deen first, and then he slaughters you like an animal. Because he knows, once the deen has gone, no help comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The help of Allah only comes when the Muslims are steadfast. And this is what the kafir is doing to you at this moment in time. And you and I don't even realize that he's doing this to us. We think he's favoring us. He's doing a good thing. He's not doing a good thing. He's just taking us where he wants us. And then you will see the true colors of the kafir. And you are seeing at this moment in time with all the new laws that are being implemented overnight. Laws which were not even considered 10-15 years ago, and today these laws are being implemented overnight. Why? Why? The kafir feels you're the threat. We are not threat to anybody. But the kafir has studied as well. He knows when you're a Muslim, the true meaning of the word Muslim. When you are one that adorns his life with the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If there is just 2-3 of you and there are a million kafir, they cannot overcome you. This is what the kafir fears. And today, look at our himmat. No himmat whatsoever. We find it a burden just to raise our hands and pray for our Muslim brothers. In which masajid do you see kunut nazila? Muslims don't even know what kunut nazila is. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did this, performed this many a time. Whenever the Muslims calamities befell the Muslims, count the masajid in England and you will find hundreds and thousands. In which one will you find that the kunut nazila is being recited for the Muslims, or special prayers are being made for the Muslims? You won't find them all at all. And the himmat of Muslims at one time, take Amr ibn al-Jamu' radiallahu ta'ala anhu as an example. He has a lame foot. It is the battle of Uhud, and he desires to join the battle, though he can't even walk properly. The people say to him, O Amr ibn al-Jamu, you don't need to go to the battle. You are lame, you have an excuse, you are ma'zoor. Make the intention, stay home, Allah will reward you. And he says to the people, how sad it would be that my sons enter Jannah and I remain behind. Look at his wife. His wife, she also wanted him to go help the Muslims. And to exhort him, she would say, O Amr ibn al-Jamu', I don't think the people are saying anything to you. I think you yourself do not want to go and fight. And I think you yourself are making these petty excuses. I think you are afraid to go inside the battlefield. He takes his armor, he faces the Qibla, and he prays to Allah, Allahumma la turuddani ila ahli. O Allah, as from today, I beg you, make it so that I never see my wife and children ever again. He goes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I cannot resist any longer. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I beg you, give me permission to be like this family, make our family exactly like this. The story has been related by Ahmad ibn al-Jawzi al-Dimishki in his work. He relates, كان بمدينة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رجل يقال له أبا قدامة الشامي. But in the city of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, there was a man called Abu قدامة الشامي. وقد حبب الله إليه الجهاد والغزو إلى بلاد الروم. Abu قدامة الشامي loved jihad, elevating the kalima لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله, helping the Muslims, fighting against the disbelievers, first calling him towards Islam. He says, one day whilst Abu Qudama was sitting in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, talking with his friends, his companions requested, Ya Abu Qudama, hadithna bi'ajim ma ra'aytuhu fil jihad. Abu Qudama, tell us with regards to the most extraordinary thing that you saw with regards to jihad. He agreed. He related that once I entered the town of Raqqa to purchase a camel which would carry my belongings, my things, my armor. He says, I was in Raqqa and I was sitting down one day when all of a sudden a very handsome, a very beautiful
كان بمدينة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رجل يقال أبا قدامة الشام. بين السكي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم there was a man called أبو قدامة الشام. وقد حبب الله إليه الجهاد والغزو إلى بلاد الروم. أبو قدامة الشام لفظ جهاد elevating the كلمة لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله helping the Muslims fighting against the disbelievers, first calling them towards Islam. He says, one day whilst Abu Qudama was sitting in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, talking with his friends, his companions. Companions requested, Ya Abu Qudama, hadithna bi'ajim ma ra'aytuhu fil jihad. Abu Qudama, tell us with regards to the most extraordinary thing that you saw with regards to jihad. He agreed, he related, that once I entered the town of Raqqa, to purchase a camel which would carry my belongings, my things, my armor. He said, I was in Raqqa and I was sitting down one day when all of a sudden a very handsome, a very beautiful woman came up to me and said, Ya Aba Qudama, sami'tu wa anta tuhadithu an al-jihad wa tahussu alayhi. Abu Qudama, I was listening to you while you were talking about jihad, whilst you were making a mention of its virtues, whilst you were exhorting people to raise the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah in the land of the kuffar. Abu Qudama, I am a widow. My husband has been martyred. And all the men of my family have been martyred. If any one of them were alive, then I assure you, I would have also gone with them and made this jihad and elevated the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. I have nothing besides this beautiful long hair, the likes of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the woman. This is the only thing that I possess that is of value. I took this hair of mine and I cut them. I plotted them together to make a lagam of a horse, a rein of a horse. And I want you, And I would be very grateful that if you have mine and use it as your lagam, use it as your rain. So when you make jihad fi sabilillah, the ubar, the dirt, the sink is mashallah. Obviously she was aware, many of the buttons, she was aware of the hadith of Rasulullah that whichever part the dust touches, the dust of jihad, that part never burns. This is the only thing she forgets. And she said, make sure that the dust of jihad touches his head. She further said, Abu Qudama, when my husband was martyred, he left behind a very handsome young boy, the likes of which I have not seen. وَكَتَعْلَمَ الْقُرْآنِ وَالْفُرُوسِيَّ وَالْرَمْيَ عَنِ الْقَوْفِ وَهُوَ قَوَّالٌ بِاللَّيْلِ وَقَوَّالٌ بِالنَّهَارِ. His child of mine, absolutely beautiful. He has memorized the Qur'an, he has the Qur'an inside his head. He is a good archer, and he is a very good horseman. And during the night, he stands in prostration. He stands in front of the Almighty Allah and worships. And during the day, he doesn't eat, he doesn't drink, he is fasting. And how old is this child of mine? He's only 15 years of age. Her only child, that is in mind, her only child. All the men of her family have been martyred. This is Abu Qudama. If my child returns before you leave for your journey, then I want to send this child of mine with you as a gift for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then she says, أنا أسألك بحرمة الإسلام لا تحرمني ما طلبت من الثواب. And I ask you for the sake of Islam, for the sake of Allah, do not deprive me of the thawab that I seek. Meaning that don't turn my son down. I want him to get martyred and I want that reward. Abu Qudama says, I took this hair which had plucked it together and I put it in my thing. So that she's reassured that I will definitely use it as a rein for my horse. He says, we left Raqqa with my companion. When we reached the port of Maslama ibn Abd al-Malik, all of a sudden a caller called out from behind, Ya Aba Qudama, kifa alayya qaleelan ya hamukallah. Abu Qudama wait for a short while, Allah has mercy on me. Abu Qudama says that I said to my companions that you proceed. I'll wait, I'll see who this person is, because he was at a distance, he couldn't recognize. He came, he made his way to Abu Qudama. He embraced him and prayed, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي لَمْ يُحْرِزْنِي صَحْبَتَهُ. All praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who hasn't deprived me of your companionship. Abu Qudama says, that he was totally covered. From head to toe, the only thing visible was his eyes. So I said to the child, Habibi, upstairs me and worship, O my beloved, reveal yourself. He revealed himself. And this person turned out to be a child. It is Jannabul Qamar Laylatan Dar wa Alayhi Asharul Nikmah. His face was so beautiful that it was like the moon on the 14th night, and the blessings of Allah were clearly visible on his face. And when I saw this ma'asum, so pure, so innocent, so handsome, a child, I asked him, Habibi, that's the one, is your father alive? He said, my father is not alive. I have come today to take the revenge of my father. Why? فَلِأَنَّهُ أُسْتُحِدْ لَأَلَّ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَرْزُقْنِي شِهَادَكَمَا رَضَّفَ عَدِهِ. My father has become a martyr. And it is possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also honors me with martyrdom like he honored my father. I said to him, Habibi laka walida? Oh my beloved, is your mother alive? Surely you must have a mother. He replied, yes, my mother is alive. I said, go and ask permission. If your mother gives permission, then you can come with her. And if your mother doesn't give permission, then you will stay with her. فَإِنَّ طَاعَتَكْ لَهَا أَفْضَلْ مِنَ الْجِهَادِ. Because obedience to your mother is far superior than jihad. لِأَنَّ الْجَنَّةَ تَحْتَ ظِلَالِ السُّيُوفِ وَتَحْتَ أَقْدَامِ الْأُمَّهَاتِ. Look like Jannah is under the shade of the sword, his life under the feet of your mother as well. Child turned around and said to me, Ya Aba Qudama, am I ta'rifuni? أبو قدامة recognize me. أنا ابن صاحب الوزيع ما أقرأ ما نسيت وصية أمي صاحبة الشكام ولا إن شاء الله الشهيد ابن الشهيد. أبو قدامة don't recognize me. I'm the one. I am her son. How did you learn the wasiyah, the instructions of my mother? Inshallah, I am a martyr, the son of a martyr. And I ask you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Mughulama, do not deprive me of making jihad with you. Why? فَإِنْ يَحَافِظُ لِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ عَارِفٌ لِسُنَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم عَارِفٌ بِالرَّنِّ. Abu Qudama, I have memorized the Quran. The Quran is inside my heart. I also know the Sunnah of Rasulullah, the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am a good archer and I am a good horseman. There is nobody in the whole of Raqqa that can ride a horse better than me. Abu Qudama, فَلَا تَحْشِرْنِي لِصِغَرِ سِنِّي. Do not look down at me because of my tender age that I'm only 16 years of age. Why? Because my mother has taken an oath. My mother has given me qasam that I never return to our house. My mother said to me, Ya Bunayya, إِذَا لَقِيتَ الْكُفَّارِ وَلَا تُوَلِّهُمُ الدُّبُرْ. Oh my son, when you meet the kafir, make sure you do not become a coward and run. حَبْ نَفْسَكَ لِلَّهِ. Give yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give your life to Allah. وَاسْلُبْ مُجَاوَرَةَ اللَّهِ وَمُجَاوَرَةَ عَبِيدْ مَا أَقْوَالِكَ الصَّالِحِينَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Seek the closeness of Allah, seek the closeness of your father, seek the closeness of your uncle, who have all been martyred, are in the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِذَا رَغَتَتَ اللَّهُ الشَّهَادَةَ. And if Allah honors you with martyrdom, فَاسْرَعْ فِيَا. Oh my son, I beg you intercede for me. Because I have been informed that a shaheed can intercede for 70 members of my family and 70 members of his neighbors. He says, my mother then held me. She embraced me and she looked towards the heaven and she prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya ilahi, hada waladi wa hada raihanatu qalbi, sallamtuhu ilayk faqarribhu min abi. Wallah, this is my jizr, this is my son. Wallah, I leave him with you and I beg you, make him close to his father. Take him to Jannah. Abu Qudama said, when I heard the word of his child, لما سمعت كلام الغلام بكيت بكاء شديدا أثرا على حزنه وجمال شبابه ورحمة لقلب والدته وتعذبا عن صبرها أنت. Tears began to flow from my eyes for this masoom. So pure, so handsome, 15 years of age, and these are the sorrows that flow from his lips. He says, I was amazed at his child, and even more amazed at his mother's patience. How patient this woman was, her only child. So handsome, we send in our family the child that is no good. We send him to mother and son. Let's make him an alim. And those that are clever, they will become the doctors and the pharmacists. She sent her only child, a gem, an absolute genius, and he is given him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His tears began to flow from my eyes. And when the child saw me crying, he said, Ya Abdimma Bukau, Uncle, tell me why you cry. In Tabki, the Sihari Sinni, Sayyidina Allah, you Azim, man wa asghar minni idha asaf. Oh my son, if you are crying, oh my uncle, if you are crying because of my tender age, then remember, Allah punishes those who are even smaller than me when they disobey the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Qudama says, I replied, oh my son, I'm not crying because of your tender age. I'm crying because of your mother. Kayfa takunu ba'dak? How will your mother be able to deal with life after you? How will she remain? Abu Qudama says, we travel. We resume the journey. We would travel during the day and we would rest during the night. He said, I kept a good watch on this child. He amazed me. Everything he did amazed me. La yaksu an zikri Allah. This child would never get tired. He would always make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he would remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, when we rode, this child was the best horseman from amongst us. And he says, when we rested, this child would become our father. He would begin to serve us. He says, every time we resumed our journey, he was full of life. He had more spirit than any one of us. And it is every time وَتَرْفَرْ أَلَامَةُ الْفَرْ عَلَيْهِ and the signs of happiness, every time we resume the journey, you could see the signs of happiness that this child is waiting to be martyred. He says, we continue till we reach the lamp of the Ustaz. It was the time of sunset. We rested, and this child began to prepare for our iftari, something to open our fasters as all of them had been fasted. So the child was also tired, and while he was cooking, the child fell asleep. He fell asleep, and in his dream I see his child laughing and smiling. And I say to my companions, أَلَا تَرَوْنَ إِلَىٰ بِحْتِ هَذَا الْغُلَىٰ. Oh, my companions, you know, see this child smile, this mouthroom smile in his dream. When the child wakes up, I ask the child, so my dear, so my beloved, what makes you smile? He said, oh, Dada, I saw a very extraordinary dream, a very beautiful dream, which made me smile. I saw in the dream that I was in a very beautiful green garden. And whilst I was taking a walk inside this garden, I saw a palace made out of silver bricks. And the balconies of this palace were made out of pearls. Inside the palace were girls, cooler in. And when they saw me, they welcomed me, marhaba, marhaba. When I saw their beauty, I extended my hands towards one of them. Their faces were like the moon. I extended my hands and she said, La ta'jal, ma'anana. Do not be hasty, your time has not come. Then one said to the other, Hada zawj al-mardiyya, that this is the husband of mardiyya. They told me to proceed. I proceed. I went forward. And in the upper part of the palace, there was a room made out of red gold. And in this room was a bed made out of precious green stone. And on this bed, there was a Huri'een, the face of which was like the moon. He says, if Allah hadn't taken care of my eyes, I would have become insane and blind due to her beauty. She also welcomed me, marhaba. On seeing her beauty, I extended my hand. And yet again, like the others, he said to me, your time has not come. Your time is tomorrow at the time of Zuhr. I give you glad tidings for tomorrow. Yeah. Abu Qudama said, when he related this dream to me, I said to the child, وَإِذَا خَيْرٌ وَخَيْرٌ يَكُونَ. Oh my son, you have seen good, and good will become of this dream. It is سُنَّ بِسْنَا مُتَعَجِّدِينَ مِنْ مُنَانِ الْغَلَاءِ. He really let amazed at his child, everything he does, everything he sees, at his dream. Next morning when we woke up, and we mounted our horses, all of a sudden a caller called out, O army of Allah, abshiri bil jannah, glad tidings of jannah, quickly mount, the enemy has come. He said within a matter of seconds, the enemy advanced like locusts everywhere. And he says the first to attack the enemy from amongst them was his child. He went straight into their lines, sending many to the fire of hell. When I saw this child, I chased him with my horse and I grabbed the reins of his horse and I said to him, Anta sabiyu birgit. Anta laqayu khadir haru. Oh my son, you're a child, you don't know this kind of thing. This is war, war is deception. Go back home. And the child turned around and said to me, Ya Am. Oh my uncle, have you not heard what Allah says? Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu idha laqitum alladhina kafaru zahfan. Allah says, oh believers, when you meet the kafir, do not turn and run back, meet the enemy. Uncle, do you want me to enter the fire of hell? Abu Qudama says, whilst I was speaking with his child, all of a sudden, the enemy attacked. They came between me and this child. We were all occupied with ourselves, saving ourselves and fighting the kafir. In the evening, when the armies returned, I looked amongst the dead. Many Muslims had been martyred. Their blood was flowing on the earth. Their faces were covered with dust and blood. I looked amongst the martyrs and I saw this child lying where the horses were. He was tossing and turning. He was lying in a pool of blood. And he was calling out, Ya Ma'shar al-Muslimin, Ida'atu li amni Aba Qudama. Oh Muslims, I beg you to send my uncle Abu Qadama to me. Abu Qadama says, when I heard his scream, I went to him and I couldn't recognize him because of the blood on his face had been trampled by the horses and there was dust all over his face. When I heard his scream, I went to him and I said, your uncle Abu Qadama has come. And the child said to me, oh uncle, my dream has come true. Uncle, my dream has come true. It is when he said these words, I couldn't tolerate. I threw myself onto him. And I began to kick him between the eyes and wipe the dust and blood from his face. And I said to him, oh my son, do not forget your uncle on the day of judgment. Make sure you intercede for him. And he turned around and said, oh uncle, you are not from amongst those that can be forgotten easily. You are wiping my face with your clothes, yet my clothes are more worthy of this. Uncle, leave my clothes as they are, so I can meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his blood. Oh uncle, the Huri Eem that I described to you yesterday, here at this moment in time, is standing next to me saying, quickly, quickly, I cannot wait any longer. Billahi ya an in abdaka Allahu salima. And I ask you for the sake of Allah, if you return safe and sound, I want you to do one thing. Take this clothes of mine covered with blood and I want you to give them to my mother. So my mother knows that I fulfilled her wasiyyah and I was not a coward when we met the Mushrikeen and the Kafir. Give her my salam and tell my mother that Allah has accepted the gift that you have sent for him. And I ask you for the sake of Allah, I have one little sister. Every time I come home, she's the first to meet me. And every time I leave, she is the last to say farewell. And this time, this girl, my sister, when she said farewell, she said to me, oh brother, make sure you do not take long this time and return home quickly. Tell the sister of mine, Allahu Khalifa fi alaykala yawm al-qiyamah, give her my salam, and tell her that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of her from the day of Islam. He said, he smiled and he read the kalima, said, la ilaha illallah, wa said, anna Muhammad Rasulullah, and this child was no more. Saying that that was finished, the battle finished. I had only one fitter, one concern, and that was to go to see the child, the mother of this child. Says, I returned to Raqqa, and when I got to his house, after his house, was a very beautiful little girl which resembled this child. She was standing next to the door. And every time somebody talked to this little girl, she would ask, Ya am min ayn jit? Oh my uncle, where do you come from? And he would reply, min al-ghazw, I have just come back from jihad, the battle. And then she would ask this uncle of hers, Ama raja'a ma'akum afi? Has my brother not come with you? And they would reply to, we do not know who your brother is. He says, when I heard this girl and her ma'asum words, I went to her and she asked me exactly the same question. She said, oh uncle, where do you come from? I replied, I have come from jihad. He says, has my brother not come to give you? He says, she cried. And then he began to say to her, uncle, why is it that I see people returning? And my brother didn't come. He says, I put a stone on my heart. And my heart began to cry, but I didn't show it so that this girl is not affected. I said to the girl, go call the woman inside the house, tell her Abu Qadama has come back. The woman, when she heard Abu Qadama came outside, the color of her face had changed. I greeted her with salam and she replied. And the first question that she asked me, Ya Abu Qadama, Abu Bakr am Anta? Abu Qadama, tell me, have you come here to give me good news? Or have you come here to console me? I asked her, my sister, what is the difference between good news and what is the difference between bad news? She said to me, oh my brother, if you have come to tell me that my son has returned in one piece, then you have come to give me bad news, you have come to console me. And if you have come to tell me that my son has been martyred, then you have come to give me good news. Abu Qadama says, oh my sister, if that is the case, then good news, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted your son. He has accepted the gift that you sent. He says, I asked the woman, where is his sister? The little girl of 10 that he was talking about. The one woman replied to that very girl that you were talking about outside the door, that is his sister. See, I went to the little girl and I said to her, see, your brother said salam, and he said, Allah will take care of you till the day of Christmas. She said, she faints. She screams and she faints. I took her after a few seconds, only to find out that she has also joined her brother. She's very Abu Qadama says, I gave her the clothes covered in blood. And she said, Alhamdulillah, الذي جعله ذخيرة إلى يوم القيامة. All praise to Allah who has made my children a source for entering Jannah for me on the day of Christmas. She's never have I seen a family like this, and never have I seen a mother make so much trouble. The purpose behind the story was just to tell you about the himmat and the spirit of a Muslim family, of a child, of a mother, of a daughter. And look at you and I today. Where's our himmat? Where's our love for Islam? Where is our love for our brothers and sisters? We remain living a life in neglect. I conclude by saying, if today our Muslim brothers are suffering elsewhere, then remember, tomorrow you and I will be suffering. And if we do not help them, then nobody will come to our help. Is it too much to ask? Nobody's asking to do anything. They're only asking for prayer. Is it too much to ask that we pray for our Muslim brothers that are being oppressed and suppressed in different corners of the globe? Is it asking too much that we include them in our prayer? Not all I came today was to make you aware of the conditions of the Muslims worldwide, so that we stop living a life of neglect, and we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and adorn our life with the teachings of Allah, with the teachings of Sunnah Rasulullah, and with the teachings of the Quran. Because once we adorn our life with these things, even if we are only 10, 15, 20, 50 in number, the darkness can never overcome us. And the Muslims of Chechnya have proven this. Allah give me the tawfiq to answer what I said. Allah give you the tawfiq to answer what I said. Make a special prayer for the
Thank you.